This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do some debate preview. We have so many people here. Curtis Houck, Tudor Dixon. We're going to make fun of Jamal Bowman losing. We have a Supreme Court decision. Bill Jacobson is here to analyze that. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, let's talk about some debate preview. The debate is upon us, so let's do a little debate preview. First, let me explain something to those who may be new viewing the show. Listen, there's a million different ways you can consume conservative, right-wing, anti-communist media, radio, podcast, TV, however you do it. And there are a million different people who do it a million different ways, but I need to explain something about me first that's never, ever, ever going to change. I don't worship politicians. I do not. In fact, I distrust all of them. Politicians are just to be used like rental cars. Now, most of the time you enjoy that. But sometimes I will end up saying something mean or not as loving about your favorite politician, and people get offended by that. And this is an election year, and so tensions are already up because the stakes are so high, and so people get really offended. So I just need to clarify, if you're the type who gets offended because I don't love whatever politician you happen to love, tough, because that's never going to change. All right? So when I do a little debate preview here, I may say things you love. I probably will. I may say some things you hate. That's the way it goes. The debate is upon us. Joe Biden is debating Donald Trump. Now, first, let's go over a couple things. The rules of the debate are all stacked against Trump in the worst possible ways. And we'll go into a little more detail about that. But that's kind of the bad news on the overview front. The good news on the overview front is this. Trump is so much more physically and mentally capable than Joe Biden. He just is. Joe Biden's no longer a functional adult. We have report after report after report from things like the G7 where they just met at, where people are leaking things saying the guy can't even function, can't hold a thought in his head. You can't keep him in the room. So look, let's pretend like we've got a big fight coming, which essentially that's what this is, the political version of a big fight. The most important thing, let's agree on this, in a fight, if there's going to be a boxing match, it's a boxing match, is having the better boxer. That's, if you had to pick one thing you were better at than the other guys were, it would be having the better boxer. And there's no question that we have the better boxer. Trump is simply more physically and mentally capable at this point than Joe Biden is. That's the good news. So the bad news is, well, it's all set up against him. The good news is he's the better fighter. Now, how do these things work? Because, look, I've said it a lot. I've said it many, many times, and I'll say it again after the debate is over. I'm really not interested in a bunch of preemptive whining or post-debate whining about it being unfair and biased, because it's CNN. It's a communist news network. They've always been unfair and biased. They always will be. If you were worried about it being unfair, why did you accept it? So let's ask, why did it get accepted? Because Trump came out yesterday and made a statement about it. He has obviously heard many of the concerns with accepting a debate like this. Two moderators who hate his guts, they cut off his microphone. It's on a TV network that's called him the second coming of Adolf Hitler for about 8 years now. Hey, Trump, why would you accept it? And this is what he said. This is Trump's quote. Quote, they approached me with a debate that I couldn't take. They thought they would present it. I would say no. And they would say we can't debate because Trump said no. So I said yes before they even gave me the terms. So he got roped into it. All right. Now, you may disagree or agree with what Trump just said. You may love it. You may hate it. You may love it, but kind of think it's naive and insane. Understand that this is what we know about Trump. We know this. We've had Sean Spicer on the show. He's very close with Trump. We've known this for the longest time. Trump has a I'll take anybody, anytime mentality. Sean Spicer told us that when he was trying to get Trump to negotiate better terms. Trump said, no, I'll take him anytime, any place. That kind of bravado mentality. And I'll be honest with you, I like that. The Jesse in me, I like that a lot. Now, strategically, that's not smart. It's not. It's not smart to have taken this debate. It is not a smart political move because Trump is ahead. You see, we're in a game here. It's a very important game where their stakes are high, but this is a game. And Donald Trump is up by a touchdown, two touchdowns, pick your sports reference and pick how much he's ahead. Every single poll shows Donald Trump ahead. He's ahead in the swing states. He's ahead on the particular issues. Every single issue, they're mad at Joe Biden. They like Trump better. They're mad at Joe Biden. They like Trump better. They're mad about the border. They blame Biden. They like Trump better. They're mad about inflation. They blame Joe Biden. They like Trump better. Donald Trump is ahead by any way you want to measure it. He's ahead. But here we have the debate thing. This debate is going to be enormous. The ratings for this debate are going to be Super Bowl-type ratings. It will be the most watched thing, I would guess. This is a guess, but I bet I'm not far off, that this will be the most watched thing on the planet in the year 2024. That's how big this will be. It's the first one. Trump versus Biden. Is Biden going to poop himself? Is Trump going to go crazy? Everyone's going to watch. And Trump is ahead. So if you're ahead, really, the main risk you have, and this is Trump, he's ahead, the main risk you have is the massive blunder, the horrible thing that goes wrong. And this is what he set himself up for now. Maybe he does, maybe it goes wrong, maybe it does not. But let's just put it this way. The enemy, in order to overtake Trump in the public's view and the polls and everything else, the enemy needed a straight flush. He needed this to go right and this to go right and this to go right. And then at the end, he had to land the finishing blow. Well, by not even debating the terms, we gave him almost all that immediately. Can Joe Biden pull something off during the debate? I don't know. Trump is much better than him personally. I don't know. Let's not do the thing either where we get so caught up in bravado, we discount the moderators. If you've watched debates for any length of time, whether they be primary debates, general election debates, you already know moderators are enormous during a debate. They are huge. They control so much. And Jake Tapper is one of the moderators.
If you were to open up a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf, you would find the Nazi leader describing the mixing of non-Germans with Germans as poisoning. The Jew, Hitler wrote, quote, poisons the blood of others. This, according to Hitler, posed an existential threat to Germany because, quote, all great cultures of the past perished only because the originally creative race died out from blood poisoning, unquote. There's really no other way to say it. Donald Trump's language mirrors this directly.
But now the Trump presidency is coming to an end. To an end. With so many squandered opportunities and ruined potential, but also an era of just plain meanness. It must be said, to paraphrase President Ford, for tens of millions of our fellow Americans, their long national nightmare is over.
We didn't even check terms. We just accepted a debate with that guy moderating? Oh, but no, he's not alone, you see. Jake Tapper will have a co-worker there. Her name's Dana Bash. This Dana Bash.
Unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong that this is the way the framers wanted it to be. They wanted Congress, the people who are closest to their constituents, to be able to make the rules of the laws.
Unfortunately for America, what was she referencing there? Trump not being taken off the ballot. That Dana Bash is married. Did you know that? Do you remember the Hunter Biden laptop and how there was a letter from all these spies? 51 spies signed a letter saying that's Russian disinformation. A blatant lie. We know now it's a lie. You know, one of those spies was Dana Bash's husband. These are the two people who were going to be moderating the debate. What you want me to say? Trump's own press secretary can't finish a sentence before getting cut off and run off CNN.
It takes someone 5 minutes to Google Jake Tapper, Donald Trump, to see that Jake Tapper has consistently frequently likened President Trump to Adolf Hitler.
I'm going to stop this interview if you continue to attack my colleagues. I would like to talk about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, who you work for.
Yes.
If you are here to speak on his behalf, I am willing to have this conversation.
I am stating facts that your colleagues have stated in the past.
Okay,
now, as
I'm
for
sorry,
this
guys.
Debate,
we're going to come back out to the panel. Caroline, thank you very much for your time. You are welcome to come back at any point. She is welcome to come back and speak about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump will have equal time to Joe Biden when they both join us now at later this week in Atlanta for this debate.
And this is where the most watched television event of the year. This is where it will be watched. And moderators are enormous. Speaking of that Hunter Biden laptop, the disinformation. You've seen this clip a million times. We played it for you a million times on this show. Joe Biden saying, it's Russian disinformation. Trump correctly jumping in and saying, what? That's crazy. And everyone focuses on what Biden says because he's lying, or what Trump says because he's right. But what people miss is how quickly the debate moderator jumps on the grenade, the live grenade for Joe Biden. Whoa, let's not talk about that. Back to race.
Because look, there are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what he's going.
The laptop is Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of race.
You have to be kidding. Here we go again with Russia.
Trump is more capable than Joe Biden in every possible way. More energy, smarter, just physically, mentally more capable. Donald Trump is ahead. Things are looking good. Don't count your chickens, of course. It's a long way until November, but things are looking good. Really, the only way things could go bad for us right now is if we walk into a nationally, internationally televised debate disaster. I'm not anticipating that. I'm really not. But we have set up for a debate disaster. Will it happen? I pray to God not. But we certainly have handed them all the ingredients for a bomb to go off. Whether they put it together right or not, I don't know. But cross your fingers and say a prayer. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We'll talk to Curtis Houck about that. in just a moment. Before we do, let's talk about dirty timeshare companies. You see, timeshare companies, they have this scam going. And this is the majority of them. So if this happened to you, don't feel bad. This is the majority of them. They sell you on the fancy brochure and the timeshare, and you can have a blast in a timeshare. But what they never lead with, in fact, they never mention it at all for the most part, is that you're stuck in it for life. You're paying these annual fees, special assessments, and, you know, surely you can just give it back when you're done, right? But that's when they drop the bomb on you that, no, you, in fact, cannot give it back. You are stuck in this timeshare for life. Call Lone Star Transfer because you're not stuck for life. If you call the timeshare company, that's what she'll tell you. If you call Lone Star Transfer, you have a 99% chance of getting legally and permanently free of that timeshare burden that just weighs you down. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll talk about who won the debate, who lost the debate, but I can tell you one thing for sure. The American people lost tonight, because that was horrific.
You just took the words out of my mouth. You used some high-minded language. I'm just going to say it like it is. That was a shit show.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. That was the worst debate I have ever seen. In fact, it wasn't even a debate. It was a disgrace. And it's primarily because of President Trump.
Oh, yeah. Those two are going to be moderating the debate, the one everyone's going to watch. This will go pretty well. Joining me now, Curtis Houck, managing editor of the Media Research Center. Curtis, so we just agreed to let CNN and those two host the most watched television program of 2024. Is that what we did?
Yeah, I mean, and we let Jake Tapper and Dana Bash do that as well. And Donald Trump agreed to all these rules about cutting off microphones and no audience and all that other stuff. Yeah, we just kind of gave away the game, guys. And then in a couple months, we get George Stephanopoulos's network to host the other debate. I mean, that's going to be great in and of itself. But, you know, the we're moving on to, like, you know, what's done is done. And I just think we're going to see a complete hot mess, because if Joe Biden comes out like bouncing off the walls like he is, hyped up on drugs like he was for the State of the Union, or if Donald Trump comes out a little miffed and annoyed, this is going to be just a complete train wreck. Dana Bash, Jake Tapper. My colleague Nick Farnacaro has been doing some reporting about Jake Tapper and CNN facing a defamation suit for a possibly what they argue is a defamatory story about a contractor, military contractor, who tried to get people out of Afghanistan. CNN did a story alleging that he was scamming folks, scamming poor Afghans. So if Donald Trump brings that up, Jake Tapper is going to go through the wall. But we just know, we see the Casey Hunt story, the segment with Caroline Leavitt earlier in the week, that she really ended the interview prematurely because she was upset that she criticized Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. Just goes to show the pressure that CNN is under, and just the level of petulance and pompousness that emanates from CNN. Because as we know, Jake Tapper, I mean, he's going to have his fingers busy responding to people crawling into their DMs, complaining about nasty things people are going to say about him on Thursday night. But this is the life he's chosen to live.
Curtis, CNN, Dana Bash, Jake Tapper. Part of my concern is, no matter what their ratings look like, they only seem interested in appealing to the rabidly anti-Trump viewers of theirs. Yeah. So why do they have any motivation to appear objective or anything like that on a debate night? They don't even have to appear that way. That's not what pays their bills. They're paid to be hacks. So why wouldn't they go all hack?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, you saw, you know, this afternoon with the Supreme Court decision leaking out about abortion. They've been really hyperventilating about that. They're very excited. And you just look on a daily basis, CNN's airwaves, especially since they jettisoned Chris Licht, has really gone back to the days of Jeff Zucker, where it only appeals to a small portion of the base, the people who somehow misplaced their remote and ended up on CNN instead of MSNBC. They're looking for Nicole Wallace, and instead they just have to give up and settle for Jake Tapper, I guess, or Abby Phillip, or former conservative reporter Caitlin Collins. They're just stuck with these people. They're under no, I think, qualms about like wanting to focus on issues the American people care about. They're really going to lean into abortion. I'm sure they're going to lean into democracy. This is the network that clutched its pearls like few, if anyone else did, in the lead up to 2020. And since 2020, there'll be plenty of questions about January 6th. I think you can guarantee that. You saw some debates on some of the other networks during the primary not really focused on that, but that wasn't CNN. You know, that was CBS or NBC or Fox News or someone else. This wasn't CNN, like the chief network that I guess is defined and dripping with smugness. So I think they're under no pressure to really, I guess, stick to issues Americans care about. And we found at the end of last year, by a nearly 10-to-1 ratio, the ABC, CBS, and NBC, they were more focused on the Trump charges, the sham Trump indictments, versus actual issues that Trump and his Republican opponents believe. So I think that's going to be the same thing that we see at CNN.
Yeah, I think you're right. Curtis, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, as always.
Thanks, Jesse.
I guess we'll see how she goes. Talk to Steve Cortez about this in Tudor Dixon. They're going to join us next for a panel. What do the normies want to see? What do they not want to see? Let's talk about that. You know what I want to do? I want to go to sleep. You know, it's not like I want to go to sleep right now. I'm fine. I want to keep doing the show. But when I get home tonight, hang with the fam a little bit, I'm going to want to go to sleep. And I know that no matter what, I'm going to sleep like a little baby. Are you 100% going to sleep like a baby tonight? I use Dream Powder from Beam whenever I feel like I'm not going to sleep. I simply have a cup of hot chocolate before bed. That's what you pour Dream Powder. I pour it in a little milk. You can do water. And I just warm up a little glass of milk, mix it in there, and it's just a wonderful little cup of cinnamon hot cocoa. And you drift off to sleep because it's all natural. You wake up the next day, you feel great. You want to try some Dream Powder? 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Try a bag. You'll never be without it. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's something we all have to keep in mind when we're watching this debate. They're not talking to us, and frankly, they shouldn't talk to us. They're not talking to you. They're not talking to me. You're the hyper-informed. You consume this stuff. You know the news. You know the issues. They're talking to the half-brain-dead people who've ruined America, the people who don't pay attention to anything. They don't know anything about basic civics. They know how they feel about things, and that's who decides presidential elections. That's just the reality of it. So what should they say to those people? Not to you, not to me. Let's talk to Tudor and Steve about this. Joining me now, Tudor Dixon, host of the Tudor Dixon podcast, and Steve Cortez, founder of the League of American Workers. Okay, Tudor, you are in the freaking critical swing state of Michigan. This is a state Donald Trump really has to win, to be honest, to win the presidency. What should he say and what shouldn't he say tomorrow?
Well, if it were only that easy, I mean, that would be great if he's allowed to say certain things. The concern is that they're only going to ask questions that are twisted in a way that he can only answer a certain way. And so that's where the masterful media genius that Trump is has to come into play, because he has to be able to take their question, flip it, and put the answer that he wants out there. And for people in Michigan, that's going to be the cost of gas. That's going to be the cost of groceries. And that's going to be safety. We were just listed as the second most violent state in the country. People are looking for common sense and security, personal safety to come back into play. That's what they're going to want to hear from Donald Trump. They're scared about what's happening at the border. They're scared about what's happening overseas. They want an adult back into office, and they want to see him as an adult come out and say, I will take care of you.
Gosh, I can't believe we're at a place where Michigan is the second most violent state in the country. Jeez. Steve, you've dug into this, as you always do so brilliantly, and you say there are three issues that he should just hammer Joe Biden with. What are they?
Yes, and I wrote an article about this at Daily Caller, if any of the audience wants to see more specifics, but cognitive ability, the cognitive impairment of Joe Biden, but with a major caveat, because he cannot look like he is bullying him. I believe that Donald Trump should say, listen, millions of Americans are dealing with these same kinds of issues or dealing with them with their parents and grandparents. This is not your fault, Joe Biden. The border and inflation are your fault. Your cognitive impairment is not your fault. However, it is clear that you cannot handle the most difficult job in the world. And then the next two issues are, Jesse, the two I's, inflation and immigration. And poll after poll, including polling that Modernization has done in the state of Michigan, these are far and away the top two concerns on voters' minds. Hammer both of those points home and be tangible. When it comes to inflation, what I recommend is use dollar figures rather than percentages. People understand dollar figures. For example, Biden's own USDA, Department of Agriculture, so-called thrifty plan, of a frugal grocery plan for a family of four. When he took office, it was $675 a month. It's now $975 a month. So say the dollar figures, $75 extra per month for a family of four trying to be frugal in Michigan. And when it comes to immigration, I think there also, again, be tangible. Don't just speak in theory. Talk specifically about Lake and Riley. What my polling has shown in all of these swing states is that the more voters are aware of the absolute tragedy, the preventable tragedy of Lake and Riley, the more likely they are to say that they're voting for President Trump.
Okay, well, just to follow up with that, though, Steve, you talked about Biden's cognitive function. I agree with you about the other two things, but you say Trump should address this, but do it carefully. Okay, come on. The bull can't handle fine china. Let's be honest. Trump is really good at some things and not so good at other things. You're going to ask Donald Trump to kind of delicately tap dance around an issue? My word. Come on, man. You know he can't.
Jesse, I did not say he's going to do that. I said that is what he should do. Based on both my own intuition and read of the situation, plus what polling shows us. Speaking of that, though, let's, you know, as long as we're on this topic of where Trump shouldn't go, but he probably will, he shouldn't talk about 2020. And listen, I join him. I have enormous problems with the way 2020 turned out and was handled and was abused, frankly. The voting procedures and rules of the states were abused. However, right now, in summer of 2024, it does not behoove him to talk about it. It does not behoove him to bring it up, particularly in front of millions of voters who are not aware of the many problems, you know, the legal and constitutional problems with the way the 2020 election was handled. Instead, it looks like a sore loser. So stick to the two I's, inflation and immigration. Stay away from things that look like bullying and stay away from talk of 2020, even when it is warranted, in my view.
Let's talk Tudor about something he's not going to be allowed to stay away from. They are most definitely going to come at him about abortion. They're going to come at him about this because this is right now a winning issue for Democrats. American women love abortion the way toddlers love a stuffed animal that keeps them company at night. You know this all too well. So if you're Donald Trump and you know the moderators and Joe Biden are going to bring this up in the worst possible ways, how should he talk about it?
I think he should stick to what he said about it. He said, you know what, I want it to be a state's issue, and I'm not going to get involved. And in fact, over, I think it was last weekend, Gretchen Whitmer was on CNN. It's the station that is airing this debate. And she was asked about abortion, and she said, Donald Trump wants a national abortion ban. I will give CNN credit. The anchor came back and said, actually, that's not what Donald Trump is saying today. And I think that's what he has to stick with, because it's gone well with the states who don't want it. They don't have it. The states who do, they do have it. It's being decided by the people. And that's what Donald Trump should come out there and say. And it's a non-issue. They will try to catch him if he says anything else. I'll go back to something that Steve said about trying to show that Joe Biden is struggling with memory. I think he can do it in a way that people won't expect. He can say to him after he answers the question, well, Joe was struggling to get this out. We can see he's having a hard time remembering this. Joe, perhaps you didn't understand what happened when your policy went into place, but let me explain it to you. I mean, there's just a fact that he can point out that Joe isn't understanding exactly what his own administration is doing, and yet he does. He understands what he did, and he understands how to fix it.
Steve, explain this to me. If Joe Biden completely falls on his face, which I actually don't expect, we continue to think he's going to do this, and then they juice him up with a cocktail that would make Hunter S. Thompson die, and he goes out there, and he's functional. He's not great, right, but he's functional. Yeah. But if he just goes out there and just poops his pants, are they going to just cut bait and dump the guy at the convention?
It would have to be terrible. Listen, I have said all along that I believe Joe Biden is the nominee and he is going to be on the ballot on November 5th. And the main reason, by the way, and there's something sort of delicious about this, is that the left has had, they have boxed themselves in by their own ridiculous rules. And what I mean by that is that they cannot, if they were to punt him, if they were to pass him over, they cannot then bypass Kamala Harris. They cannot pass over the black woman who is in the number two position based on the rules that they themselves have established, the ludicrous identitarian politics that the left lives by. And I think that these smart folks on the left, and a lot of them are sharp, okay, Jesse, they're evil, but they're sharp. I think they realize that Kamala Harris is an even worse candidate than Joe Biden. So I think it would take something truly remarkable and catastrophic from Joe Biden. And to your point, I don't expect that. And look, I think people know this who have people in their lives who are having these cognitive issues, elderly people. They can get up for certain moments and they can get up for an hour and a half, which is all we're asking for here. He's been resting for an entire week at Camp David. My expectation is on the cognitive side, he'll actually be fine, which is why Donald Trump has to be prepared, though, to bring that issue up. Again, I think present it with empathy, not Trump's strong point, but try to do that. And then also, of course, hammer the macro issues of inflation and immigration as much as possible. Also, you know, to Tudor's point about CNN, listen, they actually showed some fairness in some recent interviews, not entirely, of course. But I think that CNN, which has seen its ratings absolutely tank when it comes to the demo audience, they're back at the levels of the early 1990s. I think that they're actually going to be surprisingly fair. I mean, maybe I'm giving too much credence and too much credit to those charlatans at CNN, but my guess is they're going to be reasonable on Thursday night. And if that's the case, Donald Trump's going to have ample opportunity to really lay out for the American people the stark policy differences between what life was like pre-COVID under Donald Trump and what life is like now in America under Joe Biden.
Tudor, Steve thinks CNN's going to be fair. Will you yell at him, please?
I mean, it's an interesting position for Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, because if they come out and they're total fools and they don't let him speak, then he wins the night. If they do that, I actually look forward to them doing it, because he can just say, here they are censoring me again. Here they are taking away free speech again. They don't let the other side talk, and that will destroy them. So I sort of hope that they do it, because I think it kind of ends their career.
Jesse, here will be the tell, in my view, and I'd be curious if you and Tudor agree with me on this. Snopes over the weekend, you know, very unexpectedly, the supposed fact-checker authority site, very left-leaning, okay? That's why I say supposedly fact-checker. But the left regards it as the authoritative voice of fact-checking. For some reason over the weekend, and inexplicable, they came out and finally admitted that the Charlottesville hoax is a complete lie, that President Trump never praised neo-Nazis. Now, no platform in the country has spread that hoax more persuasively and more constantly, lied about it more than CNN. If Jake Tapper actually is willing to confront Joe Biden about this, and it's very pertinent to this debate and to Biden, because of course he launched his presidency on the predicate that he was forced to run because of the supposed Charlottesville bigotry from President Trump. If he is willing to confront him by that, then I will have been proven right that for one night at least, CNN is willing to be fair. We'll see. We'll see what happens not long now.
Yeah, we will see. Tudor, Steve, thank you both. I appreciate you. All right. We did get a Supreme Court opinion. What's it all about? I don't know. Bill Jacobson does. Let's talk to him about that next. Before we talk to Bill, let's talk about your phone. Very, very difficult these days to find a corporation where you should spend your money. It's not hard to find ones where you shouldn't. It's all of them. Rainbow this and Black Lives Matter that. But where does that leave us? Do we just have to exist on beepers like the old days? No. You keep your cell phone. Keep your cell phone number. Keep that great 5G network you're on, never dropping calls. Just switch to Pure Talk. You see, Pure Talk's CEO is a veteran. Pure Talk feels so strongly about America, when you get a hold of someone there, you'll speak to an American who speaks English. It's so refreshing to be able to just talk to someone on the phone and they can understand you and repeat back. It's amazing. Switch your phone to Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. You'll save a fortune and you won't spend money with a garbage company. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're finally getting some of these Supreme Court opinions we were told we were going to get. There's something called Murthy versus Missouri. It sounds extremely important. It has to do with Joe Biden censoring his political opponents, really all dissenting views. I don't know what all this stuff's about, and I don't know what the opinion's about. But I guarantee you one William Jacobson knows. Of course, Bill Jacobson joins us, founder of Legal Insurrection. He's also a professor at a little place called Cornell. Bill, okay, what happened with this Murthy? Who's Murthy? What's going on in Missouri? Did we win or lose today?
We lost today. We lost in the worst possible way. So this is a case about the government putting pressure on social media platforms to suppress dissident views, mostly with regard to COVID, but not exclusively, and whether that constituted government action such that people could sue for violation of their First Amendment rights, because you have to have a government connection to have a First Amendment claim. And what the majority, Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh, and Roberts joined together with the three liberals, and 6-3 ruled that the states of Missouri, and I think it was Louisiana, maybe a couple of others, and the plaintiffs, so the doctors who say they were suppressed, and I think there were some bloggers too, could not sue, had no legal standing to sue. So they don't even get to decide whether their claims were legitimate or not. So it's the worst possible way, because it slams the, you know, courthouse door shut on people who want to seek an injunction. And this ruling is limited to the injunctive relief, getting the government to stop.
Okay, well, Bill, explain this to me. It's no surprise to anybody that Roberts is a backbiting snake who sided with the other side. He's done that a million times. But people see Kavanaugh and Barrett and they think, wait, what? I mean, neither are perfect. Nobody's perfect. But how did those two, what happened?
Well, you know, we do have, and I'm going to assume they legitimately believe this. You know, this is a legal doctrine called standing, and they, believe that this was not legally sufficient for these plaintiffs to come in. The dissent disagreed with them. So, but I think we're seeing this in many cases that, you know, Roberts and Barrett and Kavanaugh on many cases side with the three liberals. So you have an emerging court where it's not really 6-3 conservative to liberal. It's really 3-3-3. It's, Alito and Thomas and Gorsuch. And then you've got the three liberals. And then you've got, you know, Roberts, and you've got Barrett, and you've got Kavanaugh, who could go any way on any case. And so that's what we're emerging. People who thought they had a rock solid conservative court don't have it.
Why don't we have it? I know that's honestly, it's a very open question that maybe you can't even answer, but why does this happen? How does this happen? Trump had three picks. Apparently we got one who's just solid as a rock and two that are just whichever way the wind blows. How does that happen?
Well, you know, I think that's a phenomenon of D.C., that, you know, people who rise to the top, for whatever the reason, over time, tend to become more liberal. I mean, we see that even with Roberts. We see that historically. We see it with senators. There's something about being in the D.C. culture, in the D.C. milieu, if that's the right way to pronounce it, that tends to push people to become more milquetoasty, more centrist, more maybe even liberal. They arrive in D.C. as, you know, we finally got the conservative we want, whether it's a politician or a judge. But over time, they sway to the culture there. And that's a problem. I don't know, you know, how to better diagnose this than say it's a D.C. phenomenon.
What are we thinking about this Trump immunity opinion that is coming? Most of the people I talk to say they're expecting some form of splitting the baby. He's immune, but not all the way immune. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the consensus. And if I had to guesstimate, that's where they will come out. They're not going to say he has absolute immunity for anything he does, related to the presidency. I mean, if you use Trump's classic example, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and my supporters would still support me. I don't think the Supreme Court's going to say Donald Trump as president could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and he still got absolute immunity forever. I think what they're going to say is that, you know, for certain types of acts that are clearly taken as president, he has absolute immunity. And the courts will have to sort out what, you know, how closely these acts are to his presidential responsibilities. I don't think they're going to go as far as the Trump lawyers want them to, which is anything, and I forget the word they use, but basically within the orbit of the presidency is absolutely immune. I don't think they're going to go that far. And so I think we're going to get a decision which gives him some immunity, is not going to delineate exactly where that lies, and is going to kick it back down to the lower courts.
Let's talk about the January 6th political protesters. Where are they going to get? What are they going to get out of this? Are some of these poor saps going to get let out of prison? They have these absurd prison terms. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, so coming up, and we're expecting tomorrow or Friday, is a case involving, you know, an interference with an official proceeding. So what many, if not most, if not almost all of the January 6th protesters were charged with were not crimes of violence, and no one's been charged with insurrection. It's interfering with an official proceeding. And that is a statute which is coming up for a decision by the Supreme Court. And depending how they rule on how broadly that goes, that could get a lot of charges thrown out against a lot of the January 6th protesters who were charged with your presence in the Capitol was part of interfering with an official proceeding. And based on the questioning at the oral argument, I think that broad view of the statute is not going to survive. The question is, after it doesn't survive, what do the feds do? And I think the feds have already made maneuvers and made clear they'll, you know, come up with some alternative theory or something like that. And so there'll be years of litigation. In the meantime, people have had their lives ruined over implication of a statute that may get thrown out. And again, we're not talking about someone who, you know, bear sprayed a cop. That person's not going to get saved by this ruling. It's really the people who just happen to be in or around the Capitol that day. And this is the statute the government invoked.
Bill, we won't get it this term, but apparently next term they're going to do some ruling on this child mutilation we're doing with all this child tranny madness. Are we expecting some kind of a win out of that?
I think we are. I think that, you know, we will, the government, the majority, and of course I'm always hesitant to say majority, the majority will rule that that was with, that is within a state's power to regulate. That if you are going to perform horrific surgeries on children, that the state has a legitimate interest in regulating that. And so I think that the law, I think it's out of Kentucky or Tennessee, is going to survive the Supreme Court. And of course, there will be howls about it. And of course, you know, everybody uses euphemisms for it, gender-affirming care. I mean, we're talking about cutting off people's private parts, mutilating surgeries, cutting off the healthy breasts of 16 and 17-year-olds. I mean, really gruesome stuff that I think when we look back, hopefully in the not distant future, people will say, what the hell went wrong with our society that we were allowing this to be done to children?
Yeah, no doubt. Bill, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. We have a great light in the mood. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And you know what brightens my day? There are many things that brighten my day. Sunshine, great weather out there, good breakfast in the morning, hanging with my fam. These things all brighten my mood and lighten my mood. But I would venture to say there's nothing in the world that lightens my mood like me being right about stuff and then being able to come on here on camera and rub it in everyone's face that I'm right about stuff. Do you remember when I went on TV and I said this? Now, Jamal Bowman is a dirty street communist from way back. He got elected to Congress. He'll be there for 15 minutes, and then they're going to primary him out because he's too much trouble. I got so many emails after that. What? He's going to be there forever. They can't ever get rid of these guys. How did I call that? Why did I know? Because I understand there are two different kinds of communists. There are two different divisions. There are elite communists. Politicians, billionaires, media moguls. These are the ones who are not true believers, but they have all the real power. And then there are dirty street communists. Black Lives Matter, other feminists, LGBTQ stuff, all the street animals you see gluing themselves to the road. Oh, they work together all the time. These guys are the true believers, after all. These guys oftentimes need something vandalized or someone murdered, and then they rely on the street communists to do this. And occasionally, you can make the transition from street to elite. They all want to make that transition. They don't want to be dancing naked in the streets forever. They eventually want to be in the halls of power, right? Give me a nice little suit and tie, congressional pin. But you're only allowed to make the transition and stay with the elites if you can change some of your ways. You're too much of a barbarian. You're not allowed to make trouble for them. Jamal Bowman made trouble for them over and over and over again. I mean, after all, this human being just couldn't control himself.
We're going to show them who the f*** we are.
Y'all, that's what we're doing. Right. Ceasefire now. Let's get it popping.
Right. I'm going to kick some Wall Street ass, so let's go.
Stop the bombs.
Sorry. Anyway, Jamal, it's been nice knowing you, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.